Now, people can do some really extraordinary things, and these are ordinary people doing extraordinary things. So if we click on, Toby, thank you. So I'm going to show you a few slides of things that you may want to just reflect on and think about, and you can read them on the screen. I'm not going to read them out. And my question to you is one of, do you believe it's true or not true? Do you believe these things that are appearing to you on the screen? Just go back one, Toby, thanks. So, I'm sure you know that very last one is absolutely true. Stephen Sutton did die a couple of years ago, and his legacy does stand at £5.5 million in terms of the money that people have given as a result of that young man's bucket list campaign as he was dying of cancer. But what do you think about the other ones? Do you believe that all of the slides that I put up were true or not true? Just a quick show of hands, who thinks they were all true? Okay, that's really interesting. So roughly speaking, about half of you think they're true, and some of you think Mike's put some in there that probably may have a slight frisson of untruth in them. In actual fact, they're all true. Every single one of those Pete slides was true. But I think sometimes, what this sort of said to me when I put this together, sometimes we actually want to see some evidence. Sometimes, you know, we might not fully believe unless we can see something for ourselves. And that takes us in towards this week's First of the Bible readings, where we'll hear how Elijah was involved in something absolutely amazing that God did. And after God had done those things, the people who had seen it then believed that God was the true God. And then in the second reading, a bit later on in the service, we'll hear about how a different man simply accepted what Jesus said was true, but he didn't actually see it or didn't see what Jesus had done before he believed it was true. So that's something for you to look forward to. So we're now going to go into the first reading. Oh, well, we will in a minute. Thank you. Now, this is where it will get potentially slightly chaotic, but if the left-hand side of the church, which is the side with me, read the text in white, and the right-hand side of the church could read the text in yellow, if that's okay. So we're going to read from Kings chapter 18. So, left-hand side. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come closer to me." And all the people came closer to him. First he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been thrown down.
Elijah took 12 steps, according to the number of tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, "Israel shall be your name."
With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. Then he made a trench around the altar, large enough to contain 2 measures of seed.
Then he said, "Do it a second time." And they did it a second time. Again he said, "Do it a third time." And they did it a third time, so that the water ran all around the altar and filled the trench also with water.
Say together,
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the good news as in Luke.
Glory to you, God.
After Jesus had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a slave whom he valued highly and who was ill and close to death. When he heard about him, Jesus sent some Jewish elders to him, asking him to come and heal his slave. When they came to Jesus, they appealed to him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy of having you do this for him, for he loves our people, and it is he who built our synagogue for us." And Jesus went with them. But when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but only speak the word, and let my servant be healed. For I am also a man set under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes. And to another, I say, 'Come,' and he comes. And to my slave, 'Do this,' and the slave does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd that followed him, he said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. This is the good news of Jesus.
Praise to Christ our Lord.
It's me again. I thought it was a song, but it's me. Okay. So we don't, probably as we arrive in church, we don't think much of fire. And actually in our lives, we probably don't think of fire and flame as a difficult thing to happen. The two candles, while I went and prayed with David and the choir before the service, were lit. Somebody just came in and lit the two candles. Made it happen really easily. And I don't think twice, I've got a lighter in my hand if you can't see that, I don't think twice about flicking the lighter and lighting a sparkler. Well, I hope it's going to light. It will in a minute. Maybe it's not going to now.
If we all pray.
I know. Gosh, you know, it lit really easily in the kitchen at home. So fire. Very easy. And our first reading told the story of Elijah, and he challenged people to follow the true God. And I think his experience of fire was probably a little bit different to ours. People at that time were following other gods, and Elijah confronted them, and he set them an impossible task. As you heard in the reading, or we all read together, he called fire down on an altar. Sorry, he challenged them to call fire down on the altar and to sacrifice a bull as a way of showing that their God existed. And the people at the time, they danced and they prayed around the altar, and they failed, didn't they? They failed to call down fire, and it didn't happen. And Elijah in the story then set about building his own altar, moving individually stones, constructing it, and then making it really hard for God by soaking the altar and the bull with water. And then, when he called on his God to send fire and set it alight, extraordinarily, God did just that. And at that time, the people then knew that this was the true God. They had needed convincing that what Elijah was saying was right, and what God had done convinced them. Now, this is a story where Elijah was really angry that the false prophets at the time had such an influence over the people. He was angry they were not following God. He was convinced that only the true God could prove that he was not only true, but all-powerful. But I think today, such dramatic action probably isn't our normal experience of God. Quite rarely do we see sort of fire shooting from the sky. But God can cause extraordinary things to happen. And if you read the May big briefly, you'll have read about a guy called Nick Bayliss. Nick is the brother of Claire. Claire's one of the congregation here. And Nick's a practicing Christian. And if you read the brieflet, you'll know that he was diagnosed with cancer last year. He needed surgery that was going to remove about a third of his mouth and his jaw. And a lot of people were praying for Nick at that time, including people here at St. John's. And then just before the surgery, doctors discovered that the cancer wasn't as bad as they first thought. And in the end, the amount of surgery needed was very, very much less. And he's now healing well. Now, as we know, Christians have faith that God does heal. But we also know that sometimes, you know, what he does is not necessarily what we expect him to do, because it may not be the best thing for his wider purposes. And that takes us to the second reading from Luke, which Toby read for us, where there was a centurion, a Roman soldier, who had a servant who was ill. And he then sent the message to Jesus to come to heal that servant, who he really valued. Now, if this wasn't an all-age, I could probably do a whole sermon on that point alone, because why was a Roman centurion calling on Jesus? This wasn't sort of normal in that sort of time. It wasn't normal behaviour. But he believed, and he called on Jesus. And he had so much faith in Jesus' power that when he heard that Jesus was on the way, he actually asked him to not bother coming. He asked him, stop, don't come. Just do what you can do from where you are. Now, unlike the people who were with Elijah, the centurion wasn't looking for such a dramatic sign. Jesus was then, in turn, amazed that this man, this centurion, had such simple faith in him. And then the story goes on, and the servant was healed. Now, I don't know if anybody was here when I did one of the services closer to Easter, but we heard then about the story of Thomas. And if you think back to the start of the service, and we talked about some of those extraordinary feats, and whether we have to see something to believe it's actually true. And if you remember back to Easter, one of the stories around the Easter time, the resurrection, is Thomas, and Jesus appearing to Thomas, and when Thomas saw him, Jesus alive after the resurrection, Thomas believed. And the other part of that story is, of course, the fact that Jesus at the time then praised actually those people who had not seen and yet still believed. Now, that's a bit like the centurion, because the centurion had heard about Jesus from far away, but we know, as far as we know, he had not actually seen Jesus perform a miracle. And in that sense, perhaps the centurion is a bit like us. Perhaps, you know, the centurion believed at the time that what he had heard was going to be true. He expected Jesus to do something miraculous, something that maybe was going to be quite normally impossible. So today, what stops us believing that God is amazing, able to do amazing things in our lives? What stops us having faith like the centurion had? Well, maybe one of the things is that we don't listen to what people tell us God's done. Just like the people in Elijah's times, they were not prepared to listen to what he said about God. But then the centurion listened and acted. Maybe we also don't look around us and see what God is doing in the world. Maybe we don't read the Bible enough, as much as we should, to see what God has done in the past. The people of Elijah's time were certainly not looking around for signs of God's goodness or power. And maybe we don't speak enough about God's great deeds for others. Because it's often when we're telling others that we become convinced ourselves. The centurion, after the servant had been healed, went off and told lots of people why he could have such faith in Jesus. And if you read the big brieflet, Claire tells us, through the account of Nick's illness, that actually, you know, it was Nick himself, who was a Christian before Claire was, that Nick's testimony brought Claire closer to God. So, how can we today grow in our faith? And like all good sermons, I've just got three things to end on. So firstly, if we listen to what others tell us about Jesus, then our faith can grow. If we look around us, we can see evidence of God at work in our world, and our faith can grow. And finally, if we tell other people about Jesus, then we can see how they too respond to him, and again, our faith can grow. Amen.